You're listening to CounterTalks, Canada's podcast for the equipment and event rental industry. CounterTalks is a presentation of Canadian Rental Service Magazine. Now here's your host, Patrick Flannery.
Hey folks, it's Pat Flannery here, and I've got with me Mitch Hermanson from Movember. He is the Director of Development, and I wanted to have him on today because Movember is launching again. A lot of you will be familiar with the program, the initiative, the charity, whatever we're calling it. We'll all remember a few years ago. I'm going to get Mitch to tell me exactly how many years ago Movember first started, and everybody started running around and growing mustaches for the first time, and that was before it was cool, and. The thing was a big kickoff and a big success, and one of the more successful charity initiatives that I've seen, and now there's some very special outreach to the construction industry going on that we're going to get into. But first of all, Mitch, I want to welcome you, and how about you tell us a little bit about yourself and Movember.
Awesome. Well, it's great to be here, Patrick. And, you know, thanks for having me and my mustache on. As you can see, I'm rocking it now. We're a few days before the hairy month, but, you know, this is what I like to call the promotional mustache, promoting the Movember month ahead. But I will be shaving off on November 1st. Don't worry. And starting fresh with all the rest of the Canadians out there. So I work for Movember, and you touched on it. We are a charity. A lot of people think of us as just maybe a movement or a thing that happens. But actually, we are a registered Canadian charity, just like any other. We just happen to be better known probably for our fundraiser that happens in the month of November. And that's kicking off. So on November 1st, we're asking everyone to join us on Movember.com. You can either grow a mustache. You can actually now do physical activity. So there's a lot of people who can't or don't want to grow a mustache. So there's other ways to get involved now. But the charity itself, it started actually about 20 years ago, believe it or not. It started in Australia. It's an import. But two friends were sitting at a bar on a Sunday afternoon having beers, as Aussies do, and they came up with this idea, and they said, hey, we should get 30 of our friends to grow a mustache. You know, they came up with a few rules. The first rule was, you got to start clean shaven. Two, it's got to be a mustache. No, you know, beards allowed. And the third rule was, you got to have a huge party at the end and celebrate your hairy journey. And so that's what they did. 30 of their friends got on board, had a blast. But that's all it was. Actually, Movember didn't start out as a charity. They didn't have a cause to kick things off. They didn't think we'd be, you know, having this conversation today. But what they did notice as they went through those 30 days is that people came up to them, and those mustaches were causing conversations. People were like, what is that on your face? Did you forget to wash your face this morning? Wives were upset. Girlfriends were mad. So the guys knew they were onto a good idea, obviously. And so they said, hey, we should add a cause to this. And what's really cool is they were inspired by the pink ribbon, everything that did for women's health and breast cancer awareness, really put it on the map, but there was nothing for men. And they did a bit of research and were shocked to find that prostate cancer is basically the male equivalent, but nothing was being done, no funding in the space. Since there's no funding, no researchers were dedicating their careers to prostate cancer. And so there's no advancements in prostate cancer. So they said, this is crazy. Let's marry the mustache and prostate cancer. So that's how kind of got going. Created our tagline, changing the face of men's health. Mm-hmm. Makes sense. You grow a mustache, change your face. But also it's about changing our attitudes that we bring to our health as guys. Make sure we take action. We learn about the risks that we face. Actually go to the doctors proactively. So that's how it started. Now, 20 years later, we're in over 20 countries. We've raised over $1 billion globally, about a quarter of that right here in Canada. And now it supports prostate cancer, which is the most common cancer for older men. 1 in 8 men will get it. Testicular cancer, the most common cancer for younger men, age 15 and 39. And then mental health and suicide prevention, which has some really serious stats that we need to address. So that's kind of how it all came about. And, you know, really excited to kind of kick off the month in a few days.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I guess, first of all, what are we asking people to do? How do you get involved?
Yeah, absolutely. So asking people, the best place to go is to Movember.com. You can learn about what is Movember and also, you know, get registered and sign up to support. You can either do it by yourself. We encourage you maybe get some friends or your workplace involved. It's a great way to do it. You can choose to grow a mustache. As mentioned, you can also take a physical challenge, or you can kind of make have some fun with it. Like if I raise a certain amount, I'll dye my hair blonde, or every week I'm going to run a marathon in support of Movember. So if you don't want to grow a mustache, there's other ways to get involved. You know, we love our Mo sisters as well. They're really important to the campaign and encouraging men to take action for their health. But the best place to go, head to Movember.com, sign up and get registered.
Great. And the money that's collected, where does that go? How is that distributed?
Yeah, absolutely. So money donated comes to Movember, the charity, and then we distribute it to our three cause areas that we mentioned. And I would say over the past 3 years, on average, about 80%, just over 80% of every dollar raised goes directly to men's health programs. And if you know anything about charities, that's actually quite good. It's,
That's
I would say,
high, yeah.
industry leading. Great to know your money's going to the cause. So it goes towards prostate cancer programs. So since we started, Movember has funded over $110 million in Canada alone to prostate cancer research, which makes Movember the number two funder of prostate cancer research in Canada, second only to the federal government,
Wow.
which is pretty well. And kind of goes to that point before, we're saying nobody was funding this before.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, because of that, you know, 5 years from now, we'll have grandfathers, fathers alive that never would have been, if it wasn't thanks to Movember supporters. We still have a long way to go, but we've made some good tracks on that one. On testicular cancer, we fund that as well. A lot of that goes into awareness and education. A lot of men, it's very treatable. Testicular cancer, it can be you can detect it yourself. So we want guys checking, but that's the problem. Most guys don't check. And so they'll avoid or delay going to the doctors, and then the cancer spreads to the lymph nodes. Testicular cancer is something that should almost always be caught early. It should be a simple surgery, take the cancer out, and you're good to go even the next day. So we really want to we fund awareness programs around that, making sure guys know how to go and how to check. Mental health and suicide prevention, this one's really a big one. In Canada, 75% of all suicides are by men, where a lot of us are slow to take action, especially for our mental health, don't reach out. So really trying to provide education and awareness around that for sure, but then also programs. So when guys reach, I say, hey, I need help. There's actually programs there to support them. So sometimes this can be programs we fund ourselves. Like Movember Conversations is a great online tool. So you can head to conversations.movember.com. It's an online resource that upskills you on your mental health, how to support others in your life that might be struggling. You might have a friend going through a divorce or a job loss or a rough time. And you don't know what to say. Go to this tool, conversations.movember.com, and you can learn how to support your friend. And then there's other programs that will support, that are organizations that are running mental health programs that will fund. So a good one is, you know, I'm based in Vancouver. There's one nearby me for firefighters from Vancouver. And it's a 4 day retreat that will fund them for firefighters to go. Kind of, we know how at risk they are for PTSD and mental health challenges in the first responder community. So it really supports them and funds firefighters kind of go through that program that was developed by another organization.
So it's a research focus definitely on the cancer side. And then on the mental health side, would it be more accurate to say it's a treatment awareness type approach that you're doing?
True. Yeah. Programs that, you know, upskill men around their mental health and how to be proactive so they never, hopefully never hit that crisis point is kind of our focus. We're not a crisis phone line. We call it a bit more upstream. So a bit more preventative type of programming that we'll do. And I will say on the prostate cancer side, there's a lot of research, but there's also a lot of support programs. We know that guys that go through prostate cancer, it could be cured of the cancer, but then they have to live with the side effects. But some of those that can be like incontinence, or they're going through hormone therapy, so that can impact their mental health. Or actually, the biggest thing that guys worry about if they get diagnosed with prostate cancer is the potential side effect of erectile dysfunction as a guy. That is a huge impact on your life. So we actually have like a whole program dedicated to sexual health and upskilling men and their partner around what that is, and actually some programs that can help reduce the side effects of that for men that are living with after prostate cancer. So that's also a really important part.
Wow, cool. So the research dollars, that would be like universities and hospitals, like and that kind of thing, right? And then again on the mental side, these would be agencies, Canadian Mental Health Association, I don't know, something like that. I mean, is there anybody you can name that you guys are flowing the funds to?
Yeah, so the organization I mentioned here is Blueprint. It's a smaller organization based out of British Columbia, but they're one I know we have funded Canadian Men's Mental Health Association in the past. So yeah, it's organizations like the, or in a lot of universities, to your point. Yeah.
Okay. That just gives me the picture of what it's actually trying to get to, and that you gotta watch those prostate cancer screenings. I went in for one and came out with a type 2 diabetes diagnosis. So there you go. That's the but it's something that has to be done for sure. And I think the awareness is absolutely something important. You've touched on it, but here we one of the reasons I wanted to get into this conversation is because here we are in the construction industry, and I think that mental health piece is very interesting, because obviously we in this sector have a certain ethic of being tough guys, or at least guys that can take on a lot of adversity and still get the job done. Do you think that sometimes that lends itself to a situation where guys are letting things slide longer than they should when they're upset about something, when they're having difficulties with their health or with their personal lives or whatever? I mean, is that it, do you think there's certain sectors that lend themselves more to that?
Yeah, I'd say that's probably accurate, Patrick. I think, and that may be especially the case because it is male dominant. And one thing we know about men in general is that we do tend to carry this traditional notion of masculinity. And sometimes that's to be kind of your point, like tough it out, suck it up, be a man. These are messages we've been ingrained in us throughout our whole lives, even from like the playground to the sports field to the construction site. Then you grow into like, oh, I need to tough this out. And especially when you're in an industry that's surrounded by men that might be like, you could say maybe hyper masculine, then this pressure to like suck it up, tough it out really comes into play. And there are times in life where that's really important, like to finish a job, to meet a deadline, that's great. But when you hold this kind of ideal, in all aspects of your life, like when you're going through a divorce or you're going through, your third miscarriage with your wife and the pressure that brings on you and your family and your relationship, and you're just trying to hold and be stoic all the time, that's when it can really work against us when it comes to our mental health. And that's when, unfortunately, we see we call it maladaptive coping mechanisms, basically side effects. So instead of reaching out for help because you're trying to hold that strong exterior, you maybe turn to alcohol or substance abuse, or you maybe isolate yourself from your friends instead of reaching out for help. And this can spiral to the point where sometimes we're seeing these rates of suicide that are so high for men because they don't see any other option other than because they want to be strong, they don't want to ask for help. So they do the one thing that gives them agency, and that's to take their own life, sadly. And so this is the thing that we really are trying to change. And these are tough topics to talk about, right? Like suicide, it's not a warm and fuzzy topic, but
No.
people do like to talk about these warm and fuzzy mustaches because they're kind of funny and they're topical. And so this is really the kind of visibility we're trying to bring to this, start a conversation and get guys know, we all, doesn't matter who you are, what, truck you drive, where you work, we all are going to go through these challenges in life. It's part of being human. And let's just like talk about it. And make it for the better.
Yeah, great strategy for sure. The addiction piece too is we were talking beforehand. Alarming statistics came out. I think, as you pointed out, it looks like it was worse in COVID and maybe is backing off a little bit now. But at one point there was some crazy statistic that 30% of deaths from opioid overdose were in the construction industry. You're suggesting that's down under 10% now, which is great. Hopefully that was a blip. But these issues lead into that. A lot of people, all the way up the chain, governments now are talking about how important it is to get the substance thing under control. I imagine that I mean there's two things going on in the construction industry there. First of all, we like to party. Second of all, we do the injuries and getting prescribed prescription painkillers is a major factor. But yeah, I mean I like I take your suggestion that not dealing with mental health concerns and emotional concerns the right way can lead to this kind of thing, right?
And especially on the drug and overdose, and especially opioids, that definitely has been a big concern in the construction. And to your point, it is there's not one answer here. There's multiple factors that can kind of come to play. And I by no means think would say I'm an expert on the subject, but part of it definitely is injuries, and that's probably where it starts a lot of the times. Okay, you get diagnosed this your injury, okay, and then you're off work. But then maybe things are going off in your life, or maybe you're off work, so you're not getting paid, and then some maybe some problems start to compound. Maybe your relationship breaks down, and then maybe you don't need the opioids for your pain anymore. Maybe you're using it just to numb yourself to everything else, and you can see how some of these things can quickly start to spiral. Oh, then you're dropping off at work, they don't bring you back. These things can really take a toll. Other things, obviously, job insecurity. When you don't have your job, that's another layer of financial insecurity that can lead to stress, can lead to relationship breakdown, these types of things. But yeah, this is a huge issue, and life is hard enough on its own. Dealing with mental health challenges is hard on its own when you're sober. Add in drug overdose and drugs into the equation, it can just it's a perfect storm in the wrong way for mental health challenges that can just continue to get worse.
That's a great point, and one I hadn't thought of. That cyclical nature of construction employment factors into this for sure. That's probably why we saw a bump during COVID, because so many guys were off work and not able to do anything for a while. And I mean that's when you're going to start getting into trouble at multiple levels. Is when you're home with nothing to do, and that makes sense to me that. That would have a factor of it. Let's get to the support side of it. A lot of people listening to this will be owners of businesses, will be managers. What like in your contact with the people you're donating money to now? I real you know you're not the expert. You're fundraising, but in your contact with those people, what do they tell you about how to support somebody that looks like they're struggling in the workplace?
So I mean, I think there's a few angles to approach this one. I think if it's related to what we're just talking about, drugs or substance abuse, again, that's not my specialty, but I would say education around substance use, I think, is a huge thing, and I would defer to regional construction association, safety organizations that probably have great resources on that and how to develop that. I think on a base level, when it comes to mental health, employee assistant programs, I think, are very common and accessible, and having those are for your employees, that if they are going through something, they can phone confidentially and get support and talk to somebody, is a great place to start. Any benefits you can have around that are awesome. But one thing that I've heard a lot, I deal a lot with in the energy sector as well, is this term that I think is becoming more and more common, is psychological safety, and the importance of creating safe workplaces. And we talk a lot about physical safety, but about psychological safety is really important. And what that really means is like creating a culture where people feel safe to share what they're going through and be with their mental health. And I think something that goes along with that is making people feel like the environment is okay. Sometimes that's harder said than done. I think things like Movember, and it doesn't have to be Movember, but that communicates to your staff that, hey, like, we care about your mental health. We want you taking care of yourself. If you're not fit to come into work with your mental health, then actually it's a physical safety as well, physical safety issue as well. And creating a culture and an environment where guys know, we care about your mental health and want you to to take action for. So I think that's where, Movember, what we're trying to do with the construction challenge this year is really coming into play, is use the 30 days as a way to engage your staff, have some fun, grow some mustaches, maybe give out some mustache awards, like have some fun with the month, but at the same time, use those 30 days to really hammer home the importance that you are taking as an employer for your employees' mental health, and the safety of them while they're on site.
Yeah, another great point for sure. Yeah, I mean it's a way of setting that workplace culture, sending the message to everybody that, hey, we're on side with this. We're interested to help. We want to protect everybody and help everybody. And yeah, this is, not something that needs to be swept under the rug or hidden from us as an organization or as a manager. That there's a problem, because here we are, spending 30 days basically placing the focus on taking care of yourself. So that's a nice message, and probably just a good HR policy, right?
Yeah, exactly. And another stat that we found recently was around, and I don't know if it was Canadian specific, but it was construction workers were 5 times die by suicide than they were to by workplace accidents.
Yeah.
But it kind of goes to show like how serious this is.
Yeah, exactly. So you definitely want to do what you can to help out. Let's go back to the let's go back to the cancer thing. I remember, prostate cancer. It was kind of there seemed to be a feeling of, well, if you got your screening and it got, if you got your screening, you'd probably get caught early enough, and then you'd probably be okay. I don't know. Has anything gotten better or changed on the prostate cancer front? I guess research wise or development of treatments or anything like that you're aware of since Movember started?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely been huge amounts of advancements in treatment.
Yeah.
In different like ways to treat, especially more advanced prostate cancers, different options for people
Oh.
to try.
Yeah.
Where still have a little ways to go before there's a cure. And there's still room to grow. I'd say like the one challenge we still have is the PSA test, which is the common way to test for prostate cancer, but it's not perfect. And actually it comes with some drawbacks. And so that's a still a big issue that we need to find a better test. I think where we've done a huge amount of work is creating the awareness out there with guys that just this is a problem and you should be going. In the past, a lot of guys just wouldn't go to the doctor at all. They kind of take that tough it out mentality, but yeah, it's not gonna happen to me. I'm good. Like, and then too many men were catching it late. And when it's late, your chance of survival just past 5 years is only 25%. But it's basically not curable if it goes in the advanced stages. Advanced stages when it moves outside of the prostate, it moves to the bones or lymph nodes and that type of thing. It's just, you're just trying to keep someone alive as long as you can when it kind of gets to that point. But we're catching a lot more men getting it early because a lot of guys are going in, they're more aware of it. Campaigns like Movember are educating men that, when you hit the age of 50, you should be having that conversation with your doctor. And you need to be going probably every year to your doctor to get it checked out. And if you do that religiously, you'll probably catch it in the early stages, which good news is it is almost 100% chance of survival up to 5 years. It's very curable actually, and when it's caught early. And so I think that's like a really good step. We often say at Movember, before you even raise a dollar, you can save a life just by just educating a guy, getting him to go to the doctor. And he's like, oh, I caught it early. Thanks so much. That's the power of the mustache, the conversations that start through Movember. But we're lots of work on the research side, and I was just chatting with a doctor in Calgary this week that we recently funded, and looking into also interesting stuff like equity grants. We did it around for equity grants related to prostate cancer, and making sure like not just that are we tackling cancer, but are we making sure that different demographics or group of men are receiving the same type of treatment and same health outcomes. Because not everybody's created equal. Somebody that's getting treatment in inner city Toronto that lives next door to one of the world-class treatment centers at Princess Margaret is not going to get the same treatment if they live in northern Alberta, and are only going to their local GP that's, a 20-kilometer drive away, right? So how do we, ensure that all Canadians are getting, the best possible treatment that they can? So we've actually funded a doctor in Alberta, and he's looking at Indigenous communities because they're getting PSA tests at half the rate of communities that are in non-Indigenous communities. And we're finding that these Indigenous communities are having such higher rates of advanced prostate cancer compared to the rest of Canada. So why is that? And what can we be doing to change that? And so we're trying to support all men and try to make all men healthier. So that's an example of some of the work that, that we're also doing in that space.
Yeah, even finding a doctor out in those places would be a challenge. So yeah, anything that can come out of the program to help that would be good. And as I recall, the problem with the PSA tests is you get a lot of false positives, right? Isn't that part of the issue with those? I mean, it's still better to do it than not, but
Yes.
that I think was the drawback.
So just for your listeners, again, I'll say, like, when you're 50, talk to your doctor about your prostate cancer health. Also, if it runs in your family, your dad had it, your uncle, grandfather, you're at high risk, go earlier. We recommend about the age of 40. Also, if you're African or Caribbean descent, you are more likely to get it genetically. More likely to get it earlier, more likely to get more aggressive if you're African or Caribbean descent. So you should also be going earlier at 40. So with that said, when you do get a PSA test, that is a common test that is delivered from doctors. It's a simple blood test taken out of your arm. It measures a protein in your blood called PSA. And if there's elevated levels, it could be an indication that you have prostate cancer, but not necessarily. So if you had sex recently or you were riding your bike, it could force your PSA up as well. So if you could deliver a false positive. And the challenge there is that then they typically will do an arm or MRI, and then potentially do it's called a biopsy, which is basically taking a core like a needle to test your actual prostate and see if there's actually cancer there. So if you have a false positive PSA, sometimes that can lead to doing these unnecessary treatments that can have side effects on men as well for unnecessarily. We also know that you're 98% of men are that are diagnosed with prostate cancer get it after 50. So it's definitely something you're more likely to get when you're older. So doing these tests earlier, or some guys are like, oh, I want to do it when I'm 35. It's like, well, like if you get a false positive, it's so unlikely you're going to get it. It can actually do more harm than good, actually. And so there's that big debate in the medical community, and really you're trying to push guys like, wait till you're 50. If you don't have risk factors to get it, so we can avoid some of these unnecessary treatments and potentially harsh side effects that you don't need to go through. But again, all to summarize,
Talk to your
50,
doctor.
talk to your doctor. If you
That's
have those
exactly
risk
where my
factors, more early.
that's exactly where my doctor was on it is because I asked her about it when I turned 50, and she said, "Well, are you having any trouble peeing?" I said, "Not really." I said, "I probably go a little more than I did when I was 30, but I mean, nothing." And she said, "No, we're not even going to do it because if you." If it's not enlarged, it's not cancerous, basically was her feeling on it. Interesting. So that's the kind of thing that's the kind of thing that the research can help with. Now wait a second, Mitch. The thing that every guy thinks about when he thinks about prostate cancer is the Peter Griffin episode in Family Guy where he gets the finger up the bum. Is that when does that kick in? Is that when the PSA test comes back bad or
Yeah, so that is another form of diagnosing or detecting prostate cancer. Obviously, it has its drawbacks because, it's based on a
Peter didn't
finger.
like
Like,
it much.
what if the cancer's on the other side of the prostate cancer?
Oh.
Some fingers are better than others, like,
Yeah.
so that, I think that was the original before the PSA test. That was the best you could do is like actually
Yeah.
feel. I mean, it's what we do with breast cancer. You feel a lump and then you go to the MRI. Testicular cancer, the same way. You grab your, and then you're like, oh, okay, like I feel a
For
lump. Okay,
lumps.
I'll go to a doctor.
Yeah.
Okay. So It is a way. It's definitely not a bulletproof way because there's drawbacks, obviously, of a physical, test. So sometimes doctors will continue to do it. Maybe they'll do it with the PSA. Oftentimes, some doctors will just do the PSA if they're doing it because maybe they think the PSA is better than the DRE. It's really something a conversation to have with your doctor, and also the kind of like what their preference is as well.
Good. So you it sounds like you have a couple of new things going on this time around with Movember that maybe weren't before. You mentioned a video that you guys have produced. I think we're going to try to put a link to that in the show notes. Tell me a bit about the video, because that was that I think you took a funny approach on that.
Yeah, sure. So we know at Movember, some guys can grow luscious like Tom Selleck mustaches. It's like, of course you're doing Movember. You look phenomenal. Like, I mean, there's other guys like, I can't grow anything, and I don't want to do Movember because I'm embarrassed. And we recognize that. But at Movember, we say like, the worse the mustache, the better the conversation. That's what Movember's all about. And to really like bring this home, our team just created, we released it yesterday. It's kind of a parody video, and it's titled Shit Mows Save Lives. Mows being like short form for mustaches. So Shit Mows Save Lives. It's kind of like retro music, and it's all these guys in a video. It's singing a song. The song is Shit Mows Save Lives. If you look it up on Spotify, you can like download it. It's pretty great. Anyways, it's a great video parody about, and the importance that, these shit mustaches, nobody wants to donate to someone that looks handsome and Tom Selleck with a mustache. They want to donate to somebody that's having a bit of humiliation throughout the month. So grow a shit mustache, whether that's something that's sparse on your top lip, or grow something that's like super aggressive, like handlebars that goes up the side of your cheeks. Something that can really, bring in those dollars and those donations for men's health. At the end of the day, that's the thing. Movember's not about looking great. It's about doing something that's kind of uncomfortable for a cause that matters to raise some funds to, support the men in our lives. Because if we don't do it for ourselves, nothing's going to change.
Not gonna
So
happen.
that's what it, yeah.
I could have started in that video. Mine comes in, it looks like a walrus. That's not it's not good, believe me. But so there you go. I'm the perfect candidate. Listen, Mitch, where do just give us again those contact details. Where do people go to sign up, to donate, to get involved, to post their pictures, all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. So Movember.com, that's the best place to go. You can learn about the health information, learn about Movember, and of course, getting involved. So you can sign up, do it yourself, rally your team around you, and have some fun this Movember, to raise those important funds for the men in our lives.
Fantastic. And employers, bosses, get out there, get the team going on it, because it works for everybody on a lot of levels. It's a nice team builder. It's a nice message to send your staff, and it's obviously for a great cause. So there you go. Mitch Hermanson from Movember, thank you so much for joining us today and telling us all about this year's program.
Thanks for having me, Patrick.
Thanks for joining us for Counter Talks. You can find Counter Talks episodes online at CanadianRentalService.com or on the major podcasting services. Counter Talks is a presentation of Canadian Rental Service Magazine.